Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And at Joe at RTE. Now, yesterday we heard from Mary, who told us a very traumatic story about how she became pregnant at the age of 17 and the incredible battle she had to get her baby back from an adoption agency that had taken her baby from her while she was recovering in the Rotunda after a difficult birth. And all of this happened in 1984. Siobhan, Mary's story brought back some memories for you.
Sorry, I've never been on live radio before, so I'm going to have to breathe my way into this one.
Take your time. Take us back. Your own story goes back to the 1980s as well.
Yeah, 1987. I felt pregnant in 1986. I was 17. Obviously, that went down like the proverbial lead balloon. My daughter was born in 1987 when I was 18. And the standard procedure at that time seemed to be that once you gave birth, your child was just taken away from you after, you know, the requisite time in hospital. I think it was 5 days back then after a normal vaginal birth. And they just took the child away for 6 weeks if you didn't have any parental support. And that was it. And there was no alternative offered.
Did you have parental support at that time?
No.
What was what were you doing? Were you living at home? Were you living...
I had a place in art college, and I'd gone to art college. I knew I was pregnant at the time, but I thought, well, what's the point in hanging around at home, because I'm not, you know, it obviously wasn't going to go well there, so I might as well get on with my life while waiting for the baby.
So you found yourself in this situation. You were on your own, pretty much?
Yeah.
You have this newborn baby, and as you say, that you found yourself coming under pressure to give up the baby.
That was throughout the entire pregnancy. I mean, once my mother knew I was pregnant, she was absolutely determined that I was going to give the child up for adoption. And,
was that,
you know,
for
it wasn't open for discussion.
Was that for social reasons or religious reasons?
I think it was probably an amalgam of all of it, really. I mean, you can't really separate it out, can you?
So you were getting no support there. She didn't want you to keep your baby. And how did you feel about it at that time?
I didn't want to be told what to do. I didn't think that it was anybody else's decision apart from mine. And the more pressure that was put on me at the time, the more I resisted it. So, I mean, I'm not going to say it was a balanced decision, because you can't really have balance in that in those circumstances. But I took the decision that I wanted to keep my child, because I had seen, you know, I'd spent a little bit of time in a mother and baby home. I'd seen the attitude towards both the mothers and the babies, and I thought, I don't want my child to be part of this.
But you were a student, I presume. You didn't have really the means to care for yourself or a baby. So what did you do?
I don't know. I just kind of struggled on, to be honest with you. I mean, right now, thinking about it, I don't remember how I got through. I had a small student allowance that came with being at college, and I just got through on that, really.
And when
my daughter was born.
When your daughter was born, Siobhan, what was the attitude in the hospital to your situation?
I don't want to be rude, but they treated you like dirt.
Really?
They just weren't interested, shoved you in a side room, let you get on with it, and then when she was actually being born, I remember them telling me to stop shouting and making such a fuss, because obviously I was on my own. I was terrified, didn't know what to expect until it actually happened. And yes, it hurt. And, you know, they were just completely dismissive of you.
It must have been a very frightening situation to find yourself in at that age.
I don't think I thought about being frightened. I was mostly angry.
And so there you are, your baby is born, you have a lovely, beautiful baby girl. Was there a discussion at that point about what was going to become of the baby?
Not a discussion. I was told what was going to happen, because I insisted, because the birth wasn't that straightforward, she ended up in special care. It was mainly because she wasn't breathing properly when she was born. There was nothing really wrong with her. But I said, you know, if she needs it, I'm going to breastfeed her. And they said, you can't. So I said, you can't tell me that. So I went and breastfed her anyway. but I could only do that for 5 days. There was no, when they said, oh, you can't do that because we're going to take her away from you. You're only going to have her for 5 days. And I said, well, that's still 5 days. But there was no alternative offered.
When they said we're going to take her away from you, I mean, on what basis? What were they saying?
Because I had no support. I was just told that that's what was done. If you have no support, no backup, and they didn't offer any themselves, you know, the social services weren't interested. They just said, you know, what do you want us to do, basically? The social worker I had at the time was trying to bully me into having her adopted. And it just, you know, there was nothing offered apart from we're going to take your daughter away from you, and that's it. You can leave now.
So what happened after 5 days?
They did that. My parents came to collect me. Obviously, you know, having been through all of that, you're not feeling your strongest. I had nowhere to go with the child afterwards. And, I, you know, literally they had to just wrench her out of my arms, and then I was frog-marched out of the place into the back of my parents' car and driven away.
God, that's like a scene out of a movie. They literally took the child out of your arms.
Yeah.
And where did it go? What happened? How did you reconnect with that child?
Well, I only spent 2 days back at my parents' house because I just couldn't tolerate that, and ended up going back to the city she was born. My daughter was born in. I was sleeping on the floor of a friend's flat because I didn't really have anywhere to go. But it's a long and complicated story. I ended up back in hospital because I got an abscess after breastfeeding and stopping so suddenly, so ended up rather ill in hospital and started basically harassing the social worker to let me see her. The social worker was very obstructive, just kept saying, no, she was on holiday, she wasn't available, I couldn't do this, couldn't do that, whatever. But I did eventually get to see my daughter under sort of heavy supervision, which made you feel like a criminal. But what were they expecting me to do to her? I would like to say at this point, her foster mother was the most wonderful person. I don't want to say her name on, you know, live on air, because that's not fair on her. She hasn't been warned. But she lives in Mayfield in Cork, and she was just amazing. She was just so good.
So your baby was fostered, basically, put with a foster mother, but you then got access.
Yes, I mean, it was a struggle. They were extremely reluctant. Like I said, it was a lot of obfuscating, stonewalling, you know, not available, nobody in, you'll have to speak to somebody after the weekend, whatever. Just anything to put me off, basically.
And again, I have to remind people, this is 1987, is it?
Seven, yeah.
Like, so recent. Tell us, it ended well. I mean, did your mother finally come around to her grandchild?
Eventually. It took a long time. To start with, she refused to acknowledge her existence, wouldn't allow me to mention her name. You know, the child was about as good as you were going to get, and then she would shut the conversation down. But my father had stood back from it a bit and hinted that maybe if I just turned up, that my mother would get over it. So just before Christmas, when my daughter was about 10 months old, I got the train to Dublin and turned up on my parents' doorstep and said, right, well, I'm here now and the train's gone. There isn't another one. What are you going to do about it? So my mother locked herself in the bathroom for 24 hours, which caused a bit of a crisis because we only had one bathroom. But, you know, gradually got over it then.
And grew to have a relationship with your daughter?
Eventually, yes.
And
I mean, it was rocky and the elephant was always in the room.
But you obviously, if you had your daughter at 10 months to turn up at your parents' door, you got her back. You managed to get her back full-time from the foster care she was in.
Yeah, and as I said, her foster care was just amazing. But, yeah, just pure stubbornness, because every time I would find somewhere to live, the social services would say, oh, no, that's not good enough, you can't stay there. And eventually I was told that I had to go and stay somewhere in Sunday's Well in Cork that specialised in single parents. But it was run by a religious order. Don't ask me which one now. And it was run like a prison, to be honest. I can remember one of the women who was training to be a nun coming in one evening when I was getting dressed for bed without knocking and sitting down lecturing me and telling me that I didn't love my child and that I should give her to somebody that did. which was a bit awkward because I was standing there in bra and knickers.
but you stuck by your guns and you stuck by your daughter, and I'm sure you have not a day's regret of that.
No, but I think that the whole situation did damage my relationship with my daughter, and it was the feeling that you couldn't get close to her almost, that you were always being told not to get close to her because she was going to be taken away, or then when you... It was just made it really difficult, really awkward, and there was zero support. So it was a case of trying to figure it out as you went along, and I didn't always get it right.
Your daughter would be what, in her 30s now?
Yeah, 32.
And have you told her this full story? Does she know what you went through to get her and to keep her?
To be honest, I don't know. She'd know bits of it, I suppose, but I didn't want to burden her with it. I mean, it's not a particularly happy story. And, you know, she resents the fact that we didn't have very much when she was small. And, you know, as she got older, she saw people who had a lot more and who had had a lot more through growing up and had a much more normal infancy, if you like. So she always had a bit of a problem with that.
We've come a long way since 1987. Or at least I hope we have.
Well, I hope so too. I mean, I have two daughters now, and I think if either of them were in that position, you know, you wouldn't even think about it, would you? You just say, well, what can I do? How can I help?
Okay. Siobhan, thank you for bringing us that story. And I know, as you say, it was the first time you told it and your first time on live radio. We do appreciate that. We're on 1850 715 815 or 51551.